Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, a new exhibit opens up at the University of Chicago Smart Museum of Art. It's called Monster Roster, Existentialist Art in Post-War Chicago. The exhibit focuses on the work of the Monster Roster Ensemble, a group of post-war artists who are credited with developing the first uniquely Chicago style of art. Well, what does that mean? John Corbett is the co-curator of the exhibit, and he's also the owner of the gallery Corbett vs. Dempsey in Wicker Park, Ukrainian Village, and he's my guest tonight. John, good to see you.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's talk about this. I say in the intro, I say ensemble, right? But the Monster Roster, it wasn't as much an ensemble as it was just a group of artists sort of in the same theme.
That's true, yeah. They were really not working as a collective in any way. They were sort of a group of artists who were all friends. They all knew one another. They were working together at the same time, which is right after the war, 48 to 69 is what the show covers. And they were named by actually one of the members or one of the people who was associated with the group was also a writer, was a journalist named Franz Schulz. And in 1959, he called them the Monster Roster, gave them a kind of indelible moniker.
What makes them special and worthy of an exhibit at the Smart Museum?
Well, first of all, from a Chicago standpoint, they really represent the first time that we can say a group of artists were doing something that was not in really any way derived from any place else. So they were doing something uniquely their own, uniquely Chicagoan. They were continuing at a time when abstract art was extremely dominant. They were continuing a figurative tradition. Almost all the work in the show and most of the work that they were making was really the figure in one way or another, so images of people. But then in a broader sense, one of the things that we're really interested in is putting it out so people can look at it and see how great it is on its own merits in relation to anything else that you could go see from that time.
I know the name Monster Roster, and I know the particular, I don't want to say the style of art, but I knew there was legacy to it. What should we know about them? Because it seems, were they heralded as great artists or artists at the time? I mean, tell us a little bit more about what was happening at the time when the Monster Roster, quote-unquote, collective was working.
You know, in American art at that time, really the big rage was abstract expressionism, and that was a group of artists based in New York. We know Jackson Pollock, we know Willem de Kooning, we know Mark Rothko, people like that. And it was a group of artists who also had the support of a range of critics who were really on their side.
Right? East Coast critics, probably New York Times, things like that.
Very strong ties to people who, and they seem to have somebody following around all the time with a camera. So they're well documented. Not so much here. We didn't have the commercial infrastructure. The gallery infrastructure was not as well developed as it was there. The museum infrastructure was fantastic, but just wasn't paying quite the same attention.
Yeah, they weren't focusing on local artists. The Art Institute was focusing on the international work.
Yeah, and wasn't quite as trained at that moment on the contemporary scene, the way that some of the New York museums were charged with being right on top of things that were coming out. So you had a different context here, and so some of the artists did go on to garner international reputations. Leon Golub, who's really sort of the kingpin of the Monster Roster, went on to be internationally known. But then there were also artists who had local reputations, people who taught here. Ted Halkin is a great example, taught here for 50 years at the School of the Art Institute. And so there was both a kind of local, regional, and international sense. Some of them were well known around the world, and some of them were not known at all.
Well, what was the, I mean, speaking locally, I think of that time, and I know, like, right in the mid-50s, you had sort of the explosion of, I guess, the comedy scene here. Second City is talked about at that time. What was the art scene like in the 50s in Chicago? Was it dominated by a certain type of artist? Where did Monster Roster fit in?
Oh, that's a great question. There were competing worlds, and the dominance, you know, nationwide of abstraction at that time meant also that there were great abstract painters in Chicago. You have to remember, this is a place with a lot of art teaching, a lot of art activity going on, even in that period. It's one of the most important art centers in the country. So there were lots of different things going on. But one of the things was this continuation of a figurative tradition. I mean, you had counter tendencies. You had the abstract painters. You also had the existence of the new Bauhaus, which had moved here in the late 1930s. And so you had, with that, you had this, what's called, you know, the international style of abstraction. You had also an interest in design there. What's really interesting is that all of that was going on simultaneously. And somebody like Leon Golub, who had his own very strong personality as an artist, I mean, the work was rough, sometimes really nasty, looking at the darker or the deeper parts of the human psyche. But he was also a really great supporter of the underdog, always, whether it was later in paintings that he made that featured scenes of torture and advocacy for people who were the underdog, or whether it was in his hometown when he was a junior in college at the School of the Art Institute and was fighting for the rights of people who didn't have opportunities to show. So he actually came up with something called Exhibition Momentum, which was a really interesting moment in Chicago art. In 1948, the School of the Art, or the Art Institute of Chicago, decided to not allow its students at all in. And that was under pressure from the teachers who were teaching at the School of the Art Institute, whose students were winning awards at the...
So they wanted the students out?
They didn't allow them into the show that they would normally be allowed into, called the Chicago and Vicinity Show.
Because they were... Was it a jealousy? Or was it the fact that they were taking spots? It was just a fear of losing out to the students?
Yeah, I mean, the students, as students are, were on top of the newest thing going on, and some of the older teachers were kind of fuddy-duddies.
Yeah, right.
And so you ended up with them jealous of their students. And so what happened is they basically shut down the students. And Golub got really angry about that, not for himself, but in principle, that this was just a terrible idea. So he started a counter exhibition called Exhibition Momentum. And that, into that, he allowed not only all of the people who would be in the monster roster, but people from all walks of the Chicago art scene.
It seems to me to almost echo or parallel the idea of what we see in the creative scenes of today, whether it be music. There's a mainstream music, and then there's an alternative or a place, a counterculture place. Same with theater, same with art. Does that kind of branch out from what Monster Roster did? And you mentioned, you know, talking about the underdog and talking about the idea of making sure you're inclusive to the underdogs of Chicago. Does that kind of stem from what that was happening in 1948?
I think you can make a case that what they put on the table was a do-it-yourself sensibility that has resonated for generations since them. And they're often compared, I think sometimes erroneously, to the group that came after them, which was a better-known group, ultimately the Chicago Imagists in the 1960s. They don't have a lot in common in terms of style, in terms of approach at all, but they do have one thing in common, which is that they took things into their own hands. And when people were not paying attention to them or when the opportunities weren't there, rather than sit there and complain about it, they actually took arms.
Sounds familiar.
Right.
It sounds like a lot of Chicago artists have done over the years and made their name. We're talking with John Corbett, who's the co-curator of the new show. It's called Monster Roster, Existentialist Art in Postwar Chicago. You know, what was it about this time in not just Chicago, but in the country that drew you to this work? I mean, this is something that, you know, obviously you put your heart and passion into. What is it about this time in American art that draws you, an artist yourself, to the mix?
We've spent 6 years working on this show itself, and we spent a long time really deep in our noses in the books and going and looking around at this work, partially just out of our own fascination with what was going on there. You have to also remember the historical context, right? You're coming out of the war.
Right.
It's a period where a lot of the innocence of the pre-war period has been shattered. And you're coming into a time when people have a sense that there's potential justification for being optimistic. But underneath that optimism, which is that there's going to be a rosy future, there's also the feeling that there's potential for basically the world to go south.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot, the age of anxiety is upon us. And so one has nuclear holocaust as a sort of regular theme. So the kinds of things that the Monster Roster artists were reading and arguing about amongst themselves make their way into the work. And the work transforms from being something that was this kind of romantic, not their work, but the work that was coming out of, you know, during the WPA era in the late 30s and early 40s, has been transformed into something that is has come of age. And suddenly you're dealing with philosophical themes of that, you know, go back to classical times. You have a lot of Greek and Roman characters who appear in these paintings. You have, you know, a lot of ghosts, a lot of demons coming out. You have the Holocaust in the background, as a lot of these artists could specifically relate to those images because most of them were either Jewish or of recent immigrant families.
This art collective, I mean, and it's interesting too because the counterculture movement, the almost anti-war movement, kind of started in the 60s where you had, you know, the Vietnam War. But this group dispersed at that time. I mean, it was almost like when we know the counterculture movement of America and art and music and all the radical, almost hippie culture that came, this is when the art collect, the Monster Roster just dispersed. So talk about why.
Partially because they weren't really a group to begin with. I mean, they were individuals who had things in common, who were, some of them were roommates, some of them were married to one another. There were all sorts of, you know, interconnections. But they weren't really a group to disperse in that sense. And what happened, which is a normal thing that's happened over and over again, is you start as a group that has commonalities. And then as each of those individuals within that
group grow
and develop, they become more specialized and they sort of drift apart. And so in, you know, by 1969, which is when the last piece in the show was made, basically they were all doing something quite different from one another. And so that it doesn't make sense at that point to talk about them as the Monster Roster anymore.
For you, as you mentioned, 6 years of working on this, I mean, to see it come to fruition, to be at the Smart Museum, what does it mean for you? And as an artist, as someone who owns a gallery, what does it mean for you to see this finally presented to Chicago?
It's moving. I mean, I think it's going to be moving for people who really who come into it and stand in it. I mean, the second room in the show has two gigantic, and by gigantic, I mean 20 foot long or tall Leon Golub paintings. And to have been in the room while they were both being uncrated and hung was a breathtaking experience. And you were seeing two singular figures derived from Roman friezes. And they're both going up in this room, and you just have this feeling that two titans are facing off in a way. And it's interesting, too, because one of them is owned by the Art Institute of Chicago, and one of them is owned by the MCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art. So you're seeing two titanic museums also represented there. So you've got all sorts of emotions and all sorts of interconnected things going on.
Chicago history too, right?
It really is. It's an amazing thing.
It's running till June, so you got some time to see this. So the show's called Monster Roster, Existentialist Art in Postwar Chicago. It's at the Smart Museum down in Hyde Park. John Corbett's the co-curator. He also is the owner of the gallery, Corbett vs. Dempsey, which is in Wicker Park, Ukrainian Village. John, thanks for coming in and talking about it.
My pleasure.